We are still on John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. And basically, we're going to take the first phrase of verse 7 and the last phrase of verse 8 to give you the thesis or the topic of what we're going to be talking about again today. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you bear much fruit. That's what we focused on last week, and I felt like that is what we need to focus on again this week. And so this is huge. I know that there's, I know for me, it was such good news when I realized there is more to walking with God and being a lover of His Word than just knowing where you find the verse and being able to quote it. This is the thing that took me from a defeated Christian to one who is excited about my relationship with the Lord. And so to understand the difference between the Logos written word and the Rhema spoken word is huge. And I hope you were encouraged by the verses that we looked at last week, where we looked at Mary when she got the call to be the mother of God. It was according to your Rhema word. When Jesus got the call to be the Apostle Peter, it was, Lord, according to your Rhema word. When Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, it was according to God's Rhema word that he said, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every Rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Y'all, that is the truth. That is our lives. That is the very life and marrow and heartbeat of what God calls us to be as his disciples, is those who hear from him, who hear his living and active word. And I thought about how that applies to abiding and how we've talked about that vine and the branches and how that little bitty grafted in piece of wood into that big vine is just a little bitty thing. And you put it in that big old vine and you just have to put it there and it has to get strong through that sap that flows up from the vine. And he's saying that if you abide in me, if you'll get into that abiding position, and if you'll let that sap come up, then he says that he will bear much fruit through us if we will let his Rhema word abide in us. And so I know that's what all of us want, is that abundance and that fruitfulness. And the Lord took me back. I mentioned this passage before when we first started talking about abiding, but I wanted to revisit it because the Lord took me back there this week. Was Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. And it starts with a challenge to believe. And to me, that is the very, and that's number one on our list, is doubt or unbelief. That, do you believe? It says in Isaiah 53, 1, who has believed our report? When Jesus started this upper room discourse in John chapter 14, he says, believe. And if you'll look at this chapters 14, 15, and 16, where he's teaching these disciples, he challenges them once again, and then again, and then again, and then again. Believe, 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 believe. Who has believed our report? And so that was a challenge for us to take home and really think about this week. Do we believe that his sheep hear his voice? Do we believe that if we will abide in his Rhema word, that we'll bear much fruit? So let's see what this says. Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the arm of the Lord represents his strength. And that really did it for me. And talking about revelation, that he's going to reveal his strength to us as we start to believe his message to us. For he shall grow up, talking about Jesus, Jesus shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. So this prophecy about the earthly life of Jesus speaks to several things that we're learning. First of all, it believes, as I said earlier, with the challenge, it begins with the challenge to believe. Secondly, it tells us that the Lord does reveal himself and his strength to his people. And it says that he's going to do it through a weak and vulnerable Messiah. Y'all, that's so ministered to me. I was so tired this week. I mean, it's just like all the preparation for the fall and the getting into the stride for the fall and then the getting into the middle of the fall and then anticipating what's to come before the end of the year just landed on me like a giant bolder. And I woke up Wednesday tired. And I pretty much kept myself a good tired all week. And when I read that Jesus was weak and vulnerable, and he was like a shoot in dry ground, and yet the will of the Lord prospered through him, I thought, oh, if Jesus is our example in counting on God, I am encouraged by that. That he is a high priest that is acquainted with every one of our weaknesses, it says in Hebrews. So that was a blessing to me. And it says that we can become strong in the mighty presence of the Lord. And that was kind of what I was hoping to communicate through the praise set today, that it's in God's presence, it's knowing him and connecting to him that we gain that kind of strength and that kind of abundant life. So I love that Jesus gave us a picture of how we could count on God. And he gave me a three-word counsel this week. I loved it. It was like he took me, it was a rhema word. I mean, I was spending time in his word in my quiet time. And a lot of times it'll just be a lot of logos words when I'm spending time with the Lord. I feel led to go to a certain passage. I feel led to review what we did in class. I feel led to, you know, to cross-reference off that or whatever, just all the time willing for the Holy Spirit to take that and then to ignite it into one of those words that penetrates between soul and spirit. And as we said last week, that there's value in those logos words, because as we plant them, that's the very thing God uses to then turn it to a rhema word. But I was going to the back of my study Bible and looking up, I'm not really sure why I was looking up the word learn, but in the back it just had a three-phrase quote of what Matthew 11:29 says, and it says, learn of me. And I just thought, oh, yes. I mean, I don't know why that just so blessed me. I thought, yes, Lord. I mean, kind of like we ended with the challenge last week, listen to him. Well, Jesus is saying, okay, you want to listen to me? Well, learn of me. I will teach you. That's that passage about all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. And he says, and what he says in the message is, watch how I do it. So that's what I feel like he's saying to us today, just to learn of him and watch how he did it. And I went back to that John 14 passage again that we had started the year off with. And I loved the part that says, it was a challenge once again to believe. It said, the same works that I do, you will do also, an even greater works than these. I thought, wow, God, I mean, how could that be true? But I believe it because God said it. And so that was just, here, let me tell you what I wrote back in my journal in a response to the Lord about greater works, that Jesus and God would do his work through us. I said, Lord, I want to learn from you. Show me how to count on God to do his work in me. There is authority to give unto you, Jesus. I am eternally linked to you as you abide in me by your Holy Spirit. You say that if I will abide in you and your rhema words abide in me, that you will duplicate your life through mine. And that's just mind-boggling, that if we will just stay in that vine, if we will just stay in that position of learning and let his rhema words abide in us, that he's going to duplicate his life through our lives. And it's just a matter of us receiving. Wow. I mean, that's just, that was amazing for me to ponder. And then he gave me this parable to ponder, which I wanted to talk about. And that's from 1 Peter 2:2 from the NIV. And it says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So, did you hear what he said? He's saying, how do you grow? You grow as you take in spiritual milk, as you allow God to feed you. And there's three kinds of growth that I think he's mentioning here, and this is in your outline, that you'll grow spiritually. And just the same verse we've studied for the last 2 weeks is John 6:63, that says, my words are life. It's the one that says, you know, the spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's saying, my word, my rhema word, is your very life. Remember, that was one of those rhema verses. So my rhema words are your life. That brings life spiritual life and vitality to you. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says that the Word of God works mightily in us, that it's powerful to make us grow spiritually. So we just need to hold firmly to the words of the Father and believe that growth is going to come if we'll hang on to Him. And know that the milk of His Word is what we need, that little weak seedling that we are that's been engrafted to grow strong in spirit. So we're going to grow spiritually. We're going to grow in intimacy. And think about that parable, or think about that picture that He's painting for us in 1 Peter 2:2. How does a baby get the milk from its mama? The nursing baby has got to be pressed up close to her breast. I mean, just held tightly. And that is how we have got to get to be able to hear. We've got to get still. We've got to get close. We've got to draw near in order to hear from the Lord. And when we do that, what He's doing, part of what He's doing by causing us to be still and telling us to listen and learn, is to draw us close to Him, because it's about a relationship. It's about that deep intimacy that He longs to give us. So I love the verse John 10:4 from that same chapter that we've been looking at about His sheep hear His voice. It says, when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and His sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They know His voice because they've gotten up close, they've gotten quiet, they've gotten still, and they've drunk from what He's given in His Word, from the milk of His Word. And then growing in trust. You know, God's been using this picture of little children with me a whole lot in recent weeks. And in fact, please, Pastor Bill, quit baptizing these babies. Whoever sat behind me Sunday saw me just beside myself. I was just crying my face off while this little baby was getting baptized. And, you know, talking about a picture of trust, this little infant was just truly, I don't know who was in 11 o'clock on Sunday. This little infant was, I don't know how little he was, but he was a pretty little guy. And he held him out for everybody to see, and he was just like that. He was dead asleep, just decked out. I mean, just arms hanging and a mouth open, just so asleep. And to me, that's a picture of trust. And I just, I just really had to get out multiple Kleenexes to get through that baptism. Oh, it was so sweet. And I thought, you know, Lord, I don't know that little fella knows how helpless he is, but he is, you know, and we are helpless too. And I think embracing that's scary. I think that's one of the reasons I was crying, because it's scary to really think about doing that. You know, to really, really trust God and count on God in that kind of a way. But I think we would benefit from just meditating on, we really are helpless to generate any kind of growth, any kind of godly, any kind of wisdom, any kind of life apart from our connection to God. So we can count on Him to bless us and feed us as we just come to Him as His little children. And just ask Him to do it. And I love that simple prayer in Psalm 119, verse 18, that says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And that word wonderful is the Hebrew word pala, P-A-L-A, which means things that are too wonderful or too great for me. Things that are too big for me to understand. And yet, if we come to Him as little children and trust Him, He's going to show us these things that are too big for us to even imagine. And what's going to happen is that trust is going to develop. We're going to start realizing, oh yeah, He really does speak. Oh my goodness, I could never have thought that up on my own. And it just develops that hunger where you really do want to go back and get that next taste of that spiritual milk. So it's just kind of a great little cycle to get into there. So I thought that was very instructive, the parable of the nursing infant. Now let's talk about some of the hindrances, and with all that in mind as far as a mindset. And the first one I wanted to mention was principalities. And I don't know, what does our outline say? I may have a typo on that one this week. Yeah, that should be John 10:10 on principalities instead of Luke 10:10. And what that verse says is, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so I think that's important for us to keep in mind. You know, when you read Ephesians chapter 6, that talks about our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness and the heavenly places. We need to keep that in mind, that Satan does not want us to be fed spiritually. He does not want us to hear God's voice. He does not want us to be strengthened. He does not want us to grow. He does not want us to trust. He does not want us to have intimacy. He is all about robbing that from you. And Jesus is saying, but I came that you might have it, and you have it as you abide in me and as you abide in my rhema word. And I was taken, in fact, you'll see it throughout the lesson. The Lord had me in Daniel 10 quite a bit this week. And I thought it was very, it was a blessing to me because I felt so blocked. I had sought the Lord about what he would have me to do as far as a direction, and I wasn't hearing. I just kept seeking. And you know, that verse in Matthew 7 that says, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you, ask and it shall be given. And it wasn't happening. And I was just so confused. And so the Lord took me to Daniel chapter 10, and listen to what it says in verses 12 and 13 from the New Living. It says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer to your, have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen. So in other words, did you see what's going on there? That's kind of a wordy passage, but what it says is Daniel had sought the Lord, and there was a battle going on in the spirit realm, that the forces of darkness were coming against him to keep him from hearing from God. And eventually, the prayers broke through. He was fasting, he was praying, he was seeking the Lord, and he got himself a breakthrough. But I thought, wow, that, I mean, thanks for saying. We need to be battle ready and know that Satan wants to come against us to steal that. And we need to know that we can bind him, resist him, it says in James 4:7, and he must flee. Okay, so that's the first hindrance I wanted to mention. The second one was, I named it preconceived notions. So our preconceived notions about hearing from God or listening to God, and guess what the first one I wrote was? I feel unworthy. I feel unworthy. And, you know, that's really self-judgment. And I learned a while ago, even though I still indulge in self-judgment, I do know the principle is that we don't have the capacity to know like God knows. God knows the end from the beginning, and we need to leave the judging to God. It's his job to judge us. And Jesus came not to judge us, but to save us, he tells us in the book of John. So he's forgiven us, and he's called us his friend. And I loved this verse. I've never seen this verse before. Luke 5:20 in the New American Standard says, Jesus speaking, friend, your sins are forgiven you. I think that is a sentence that we should stop and hear afresh from the lips of our Savior, is that your sins are forgiven you, just like Jean was sharing from her experience, is that we can just put all that stuff in the trash can because Jesus has already taken it on himself at the cross. So if we're thinking about how we messed up, if we're thinking about how we've fallen short, that's going to block our ability to hear from the Lord. So we want to remember what he said to us about our sins being forgiven. Second part of this issue is judging. This is something the Lord showed me that is a new thought to me that I just realized in the last recent weeks, is that I have judged my time with God. Like, listening to how other people, like I'll go to small group and I'll hear how the other group members do it. I'll go and listen to my mentor talk about her experiences with the Lord. And I subtly, I'm not doing it just so obviously. I think if I was doing it that obviously, it would ring a bell in my head and I'd stop. But I compare. I compare how my time with the Lord looks with how her time with the Lord looks, with how your time with the Lord looks, with how their time with the Lord looks. And I've judged it. And what we need to remember is just like we have a unique way that we communicate with each one of our children or each one of our friends or each one of our family members, if we're able to do that and to tailor what needs to be said and what way needs to be said to a human being, how much more is God able to do that? He has a unique call on your life. He's made you uniquely. And he wants to have a relationship with you that is just one of a kind. And it's not going to be cookie cutter. Aren't you glad? When you think about it in that light, it's good, but it's tempting. I'm just saying, it's tempting to do that. And so when we sing this song, to know you, Lord, and to know that that's the call, you know, like I'm sitting there singing that song this week and wanting to pick that out for praise, knowing you, Jesus, is, you know, that's my favorite thing, or whatever it says. And there's part of me that's thinking, part of me is all in. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. There's a part of me that is all 110% into that. And then there's a part of me that's going, no, you're not. You want to do this, because you've got your agenda. So this is a process, y'all. It's a process. God is in that thing of, I can say with integrity, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And the really fun thing, the Lord reminded me of this verse in Jeremiah. You know, we talked, I think it was the very first week, about we have a new heart. That's what happens to us when we're saved. We have a new heart, a heart that has his commandments written on it, a heart to obey. We talked about the new covenant passage in Ezekiel 36 that says that. But the Lord reminded me of the new covenant passage that was written in Jeremiah 24:7. And it says, I have given you a heart to know me. And that is there, y'all, in the exact same way that we have that heart to obey him. We already have planted deep within us a heart to know him. And we need to stand on that. Instead of being ambivalent about saying, Lord, I want to know you more, or I want to know you, or knowing you, Jesus, we want to stand in faith, I believe, and say it, Lord, thank you for already giving me a heart to know you. Father, help me to get in touch with that heart. Speak to that place in me so that it can grow strong. Let your rhema words penetrate to that place in me so that it can rise up and be the part of me that's in the lead. So anyway, I hope that'll help you in those places where you may struggle with comparison or judging or whatever like that. Okay, partial understanding is the third hindrance. And I loved this verse. Again, God had me back in John chapter 10, and verses 6 and 7 from the New Living say this: those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I thought, oh, that was so good, Jesus. That in other words, they didn't get what Jesus was saying. So you know what he did? He just said it again in a different way. He just kind of repeated it, just in other words, and then he said it again. And I love that about our Lord, is that he speaks to us, and then he speaks to us again, and he speaks to us again. And he's not, I don't think he's impatient with us, but I think we get impatient with ourselves because we don't get it the first time. And I relayed that story to you last week about how I'd been in that chapter in Mark for like weeks, and it took literally weeks and a trip to the lake for me to actually hear it. But hey, when I got it, boy, it was a goodie. So I would just say a good verse to remember about that is when you have incomplete understanding is Hosea 10:12, and it says, it is time to seek the Lord until he comes. Seek him until he comes and rains that righteousness on you, until he sheds that light on you. Just keep after it. And I mean, I don't know why we're surprised. God's thoughts are so much higher than ours, and his ways are so much higher than ours. I don't know why we think we're supposed to get it the first time and never forget it, but we do. And I was comforted also by the story of the disciples. I mean, you think they were with him 24/7, right? They spent all that time with him, and they forgot. They didn't get it completely. I was in Mark chapter 8, and not once not twice, but for the third time, they forgot to bring the bread. And they had watched Jesus multiply little portions of food to thousands of people twice. Do you think if you had seen that the first time, you might have remembered it? Do you think if he did it the second time, you might really get it that time? No, they forgot again the third time. And I thought, oh, thank you for saying, God. Thank you that they, and Jesus said, you know, what? He said, why are you not understanding me? He mentioned three reasons in this passage in Mark 8, starting in verse 14. Reasoning. Okay, hello. When we start to use human reasoning to try to figure out the things of God, we start getting in trouble. The second thing he mentioned was hard hearts. Just, you know, being resistant to go there. And the third was forgetfulness. So I just say the main thing is just if we'll stay with it and let it penetrate to that deep place, that'll help us in every one of those things that he mentioned. And I found a wonderful quote from Andrew Murray that I wanted to mention today, and it's talk about staying with it. He says this, one verse chose to meet our needs read 10 times and then laid up in the heart is better than 10 verses read once. Only as much of the word as I actually receive and inwardly appropriate for myself is food for my soul. Isn't that good? So just, again, deep, 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 deep. Eat, digest, and then let it incorporate into your spiritual DNA. And then preoccupation, that's one that I purposed to use that word because it was in the outline. But it kind of covers a lot of things. We're distracted. And I wanted to mention three of those today. We touched on some of them in that tool and technique, listening to God. I've listed several obstacles in there. But here's some that I wanted to just, I feel like are the most common ones I hear from people again and again. The first one is subject matter. And we get caught in the trap of wanting the answers that we want instead of what God's talking about. Y'all ever do that? Like you go to seek the Lord and you're kind of thinking, okay, God, you know, I'm praying, I'm asking you for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if I ask, you'll give. And so here I am in your word wanting you to speak to me. And he may speak to you, but we don't have ears to hear it because we are listening on another topic altogether. So we miss God because he's trying to communicate one thing and we're off on this other page, just totally blowing off the thing he's mentioning. This happened again to the, you know, you got to love the disciples. Thank you, God, for your sense of humor and putting the disciples in the Bible because they make me feel better about all my inadequacies and failures. In Mark chapter 9, it's the story of when they were walking along, and the story kind of goes like this. They were arguing with each other about where they landed on the totem pole in the kingdom of God. Okay, who's going to be the greatest, right? Am I going to get the right hand? Am I going to get the left hand? Where am I going to line up on that totem pole? And so Jesus asked them a direct question and said, what were y'all talking about? You know what they did? Dead silence. Didn't even answer him. I mean, isn't that gutsy to just have the Lord Jesus Christ ask you a question and you just kind of stand there? Like, I'm not going there with you, Jesus. Just don't even go there. So the disciples say nothing. So then he tries to, of course, he knows what they're talking about, right? Because he knows everything. So he's talking to them about this issue and they change the subject. They just, he's talking about, you know, serving and being least in the kingdom. And they say, hey, wait a minute now. I've got something for you, Jesus. We saw this guy who was not part of our group, who is casting out demons in your name, and we told him to stop. And you know, you're thinking, they missed this wonderful teaching that Jesus was trying to teach them about coming not to be first and understanding the deep things of God. Because they were so distracted about who's going to be where on the totem pole and what this dude over here who's not part of our group is doing. So he takes this little baby or a little child and he puts it on his lap and he says, unless you're like this, you can't be a part of the kingdom. You're going to miss it if you are not like that little baby. So kind of back to my thing of Jesus is talking to me about babies all the time. So, you know, that can be an issue. That's that we don't have ears to hear thing because we're preoccupied with, we think we need to know something else. And Jeremiah 33:3, Debbie Brazil sent me that in an email yesterday, and I added it to the lesson. I loved it. It says, call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. He didn't say, I'll show you the things you think you need to know. He said, I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So let's just embrace them as great and mighty. Let's talk about timing for a minute. And I mentioned this already, is that I was praying. Daniel was praying. And then there was a lag time. I think we need to, a lot of times I think we get our nose out of joint with God because he doesn't give us an immediate response. So the thing I would just say in this, a little bit similar to what I just said, let's listen to Psalm 138:3, which kind of addresses it, is that in the day when I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. In the day that I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. So let's say, what did that verse say and what didn't it say? In the day that I called to you, you answered me. But he didn't particularly, we don't know what kind of answer he gave him. What he did do was he met his need for strength for that day. That if we will focus on today, if we will focus on right here, right now, connecting with God, staying in the vine, and us being that little branch that's sucking up that life and that sap, that we'll find the strength that we need. So whatever verse, principle, promise that he gives us is going to benefit us. It is beneficial if we'll abide in it. And I love this. I've used this one before, and I just wanted to pull it out again because it's so good from the Message. Matthew 6:34 says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Y'all, if we could just do that, oh my gosh. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So again, that's a trust issue. If you will just trust him with what he's communicating today, seek first him and his righteousness, all these things are going to be added to you. That's what that basically says. And then the method, and Donna touched on this in her comments, but I have found that God will use just about anything to communicate. And I made a list of some of the things, and I love the fact that I got some alliteration going on this, that I have had birds, within just this summer, birds, bugs, butterflies, babies, and brides. God's used all those things to give me, and what he basically does is he will have me in the Logos Word, learning a principle, he'll have me praying it and appropriating it into my life, and then he'll show me something in nature or in the natural realm that reinforces that truth. And it's a blessing. It's sweet. It's just a personal way God communicates. And birds were my big thing for a long time, and they're still big with me. I'm big on birds. But he's kind of expanded his repertoire, and I've loved that the Lord's given me eyes to see it. And I could add B for bumper stickers. I know I've had a bumper sticker or two in my day. But I wanted to tell you a little, first of all, a verse and then a little mini testimony about this. Isaiah 7:18-19 from the NIV says that in that day the Lord will whistle for four flies from the distant streams of Egypt and for bees from the land of Assyria, and they will come. Think about it. And that kind of goes back to that thing we said, I think it was the very first week, about that if God can minister to us in the ones and twos of life, if he can make a bird be right there on the river at the exact second that I happen to be running by, if he can do that to bless my heart, he can handle the big things that I am in a knot about. He wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants us to know, I'm right here. I see you. I've got it. One of the fun ones that he gave me that was so unbelievable, I really thought God really, I mean, I get the nature thing, the bugs, the bees, the birds. I got that. We have a real steady flow of birds, bees, and bugs going. But this was back toward the beginning of the summer, and Covenant was in the midst of the pulpit committee, search committee thing. And y'all, I had this burning in my guts praying about this whole search thing. I mean, I was just, this was on my front burner. And this is another thing that I'm just going to incorporate here, is that somebody else, was it you, Phyllis, maybe, had this word from the Logos word about that God is prepared, or Jesus is preparing his bride for himself. Was that you? Anyway, or maybe it was Martha. Anyway, you know that concept of Jesus is preparing his bride, the church, for himself. And, oh, man, that just bore witness. Then I took that as my new word to start praying. I mean, their rhema word became my rhema word, whoever I stole that from. And I was like, own that. Oh, dear God, thank you that this waiting time is a time that you're preparing your bride for yourself. Oh, Lord, just, oh. And I was just praying that. And I was just, everybody that was, you know, I could just couldn't get people to stand still long enough for me to tell them about, oh, y'all have got to pray and all this. And so it just seems like it happens so much of the time is when I put my running shoes on and I hit that trail, y'all, I parked my car in one of my parking spots and I was running down the trail and I saw a butterfly, which has a special meaning. You know, it was a big moment in my life with the Lord. I saw a butterfly. Well, I was praising God for the butterfly. So then I run down the trail some more, and I saw a bird. And, you know, each one of the birds has a special memory and meaning and a verse usually that goes with it. And I saw this bird, and I thought, oh, God, that's so sweet, a butterfly and a bird. That is so sweet. So I go across the street, and I'm coming around to kind of this thing that they've made, this new little kind of private little quiet trail back in the kind of woodsy area. And this is before they weed-eated all of it. And I'm coming around here, and it was like at dusk. And y'all, I kid you not, there was a woman standing in the middle of that field with a white bride's dress on. And I just went, oh my gosh. Y'all, there was a woman standing in the middle of the trail with a white bride dress on. And I had been praying the bride of Christ every day for about 2 months. It was like, oh Jesus, who does that? So I mean, say what you want to about that. Yes, that was a coincidence, but I believe God was saying to me, I hear your prayers and I'm on it. And I felt very ministered to by that. And I believe it, and I did believe God was speaking to me, and I heard it loud and clear. So I would just encourage you to just be wide open. Be wide open. Ask God to bless your eyes. Ask God to bless your ears. Ask God to identify any of the things in you that are hard or resistant or fearful or doubting, and to let him minister to those, and just draw near to him, counting on him to grow you spiritually, relationally, and in your faith, so that you can have that supernatural fruit. And the verse I wanted to end with was Isaiah 55:2-3, and it says this. It says, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. And let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you that you say that your word is rich, that it is life-giving, that it is fruit-bearing, that it is the thing we crave so much, Lord. It's the thing that, just like that little baby craves mother's milk, Lord, we crave your word. But Lord, sometimes I don't even think we know what we're hungry for. We think we're hungry for other things. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us get in touch with the fact that we're hungry to connect to you, or we're hungry to drink from that word of life that you speak. I pray, Lord, that we would come close enough, that we would get still enough, that we would be just like that infant and just be trusting, Lord, that what you've got to say to us is good. Lord, I pray against any judgment, Father. I pray against the spirit of self-judgment. I pray against the spirit of accusation, condemnation, the lie that would tell us we're not worthy. Lord, I renounce those, and I thank you that you've said that we are holy and blameless and beyond reproach because of the blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you that we are pure and clean in your presence, and that we are worthy because of the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we just pray that you would forgive us for judging our times with you or judging you about what you chose to say and when. Lord, please just cause us to be humble before you and just to count on you to tell us what we need, when we need it, and how you want to say it. Father, I pray for some surprises from you this week, that Lord, we would just have eyes that would be blessed to see you saying hello to us this week. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to draw closer and closer in into getting in touch with our heart that truly is to know you, Lord. Thank you that that's there already, and I pray that you would just make that our experience, and we just love you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.